up, everybody? Trevor here with Carrot, coming at you with another episode of the Carrot Cast. And it's been a little while since I've done one on video. I've been like jamming them on my cell phone lately. Traveling a lot this past month, so a lot of them were on my cell phone. And then we had Carrot Camp out here in Roseburg, which my friend Brad Chandler, who's on this episode of the Carrot Cast, was out here for Carrot Camp. We'll talk about some of the things we learned from Brad and from other amazing investors out here, some big, big guys. And I was going to say guys and gals, but there were no gals. We want gals at the next Carrot Camp. Next Carrot Camp, we need some women. But I'm pumped to be able to get back on the video and make the podcast a little bit more engaging for all you YouTube followers out there. We have thousands of them. We want to get a lot more. But before we dive in and reintroduce Brad, this is his return appearance on the Carrot Cast. I just want to toss out a quick little self-promotional plug. We're going to be talking about Carrot Camp a little bit here just at the start because that was the last time I saw Brad a few weeks ago out here in Roseburg at Carrot HQ. And Carrot Camp Fall 2018, as of the time that I'm saying this right now, we have not emailed it out yet, but we already have two people that have already locked down seats. We have another four that have committed that haven't like fully made the payment yet. We haven't even sent an email out yet. So if you guys want to grab one of this Fall's Carrot Camp seats, go to carrotcamp.com, and we're only taking on 15, maxing out at 15. As Brad saw, we were already tight on seating. We're going to have one more table to add the extra three spots, and then we are done. And
count me in, because I'm going again.
Brad's coming back again. I love it. So that's a great transition. So I want to welcome you back on the Carrot Cast, Brad. And I appreciate the heck out of you being on this on the podcast. You were on once before. We'll tell people where to go to find out where that one is. But I appreciate you coming back on.
No, thank you for having me.
So the episode that you and I did, I can't remember which number it is. We'll link it up in the show notes if you guys are watching this on our website. If you're on iTunes, go check in iTunes and look for Brad's name, Brad Chandler. And so for a little bit of background on him, I'm going to just kind of inject a couple things about him. You guys can go listen to the previous episode on where he started, how he got his first deal done, how he scaled up to be one of the largest home buyers in the country. But I want to set the stage here. So Brad and I met, probably 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago online, one of those online meetings. We met online. We started doing some work together, and we finally met in person at a mastermind, I believe, maybe Collective Genius or something else. Can't remember what it was. And it's been really cool just seeing Brad's company grow and evolve. They were always a big home buyer. You know, Express Home Buyer is a name that most people around the country have heard of now in the investment space. But they've made some big pivots this year, this past 12 months. And we're going to be discussing those, why they've done it, how they're doing it. And it's really it's really kind of opened up some things in their business that Brad wasn't able to enjoy before. And I want to talk about some of those things we talked about at Carrot Camp. So anyway, let's kind of update people really fast on where are you today, Brad? Because when we talked last time, I think it was about a year ago. So what's your business look like today?
So in December of 2016, we literally decided as a team, we're not going to do any more renovations. And we built our business on renovating houses. We've probably done close to 2,400 transactions, and we probably renovated 15 to 1,600 of those. And we in 2016, we were literally doing 85 houses at one time. And they were from Waldorf, Maryland to Frederick, Maryland. And for those of you who know the area, that could be a 3-hour drive, 4-hour drive in traffic. It just became just too crazy to try to manage that many. And it was killing us from a cash flow perspective. We had a huge staff of people because you need project managers and you need people that are going to turn on and off the utilities, pay the property taxes, the insurance. It goes on and on and on. So just a lot of complexity. So we said the biggest problem in our business is renovation. So if we can get rid of that, we can be, you know, smooth sailing. Well, we had tried wholesaling 4 years ago, but we had no idea how to attract the right buyers. So we didn't make enough money, so we had to go back to rehabbing. So anyway, we pivoted in December of 2016, and now we've done nothing but wholesale since then. And it's just, we're just a different company. We're nimble. We are doing now we're virtually wholesaling deals all across the United States. We just brought on a CEO who is going to replace me. I'm going to become, I guess, the chairman of the board. Fancy, isn't it? I'll still be here. I'll still be involved. I'll still be, you know, working things. But our goal is to become, you know, a much bigger national company like I wanted to from day one. That was my dream when I started this company.
Man, so I've got a few questions in there I want to unpack. You mentioned hiring the CEO. I want to talk about that here in a bit. And it also transitioned into what you're doing with your time, because we all have things we're passionate about. I know you love coaching, and that's something I really enjoy too. So we'll talk about what you're doing right now to help real estate investors here in a bit. But let me kind of unpack that transition. So at the mastermind here at Carrot Camp, and also at the mastermind in Sedona, I think that's actually where we first met in
person. That's where we first met. You got it.
Yeah, my mastermind in Sedona last year, when we got lost in the desert and almost died, but we made it back. We made it back alive. So there's a few things you talked about at both of them where you guys are really over leveraged on some things. You guys, once again, you had a lot of money out on your renovations. You had a lot of risk there. And there's a lot of problems with just contractors. Like you said, when you have 80 plus projects going on, there's a lot going on, a lot of money out there, a lot of contractor issues. What were some of the things that, as the CEO of a company like that, that were just stressing you out, man? What was keeping you up at night? And what were the things that you were just dreading when you were coming to work each week?
I mean, Trevor, ultimately it was cash flow. I mean, I sleep pretty well, so the leverage didn't bother me, although it probably should. At one point in time, 2 years ago, we had $34 million, most of it in debt. Most of it was on, 98% of it was on fix and flip. Mm. Today, we don't have any debt on fix and flip. The only debt we have is on a condo project that we're doing. So in addition to the complexity and the chaos of the business, because we had so many renovations going on, the one thing in the final straw was cash flow. It was just like our cash flow. It's, you know, it was December of 2016. We're like, you know, we're talking about how payroll is going to be tight. And I was like, geez, enough is enough. Like, we've made so much money and done so many successful things in this business that we've got to change something. And we tried renovations, three different contractors over 3 years, and unfortunately all of them failed for us. So we said, you know what, we just can't keep doing this, so let's stop renovating houses.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys, because that's one thing that popped up at the Care Camp when we were discussing, there's some guys still doing a lot of renovations, and some of them are like, I'm going to continue to do them, I've got my processes down. Do you feel that kind of, was there a breaking point volume-wise where all of a sudden after X amount of renovations at once, then it didn't work? Could someone still make it work really well in this market with fewer renovations?
Yeah, there's a couple of answers in there. So when you go from 5 renovations to 10 renovations, you'd think it's going to be twice as hard. Mm-hmm. It's not twice as hard. It's exponential. It's 10, it's 20, it's 50 times harder. Mm. So I think doing like my wife and I actually just bought a house from Express Home Buyers. They wholesale to us. We bought it. We're going to fix and we've already fixed. We're in the process of flipping it. We're supposed to close on it, I think, 2 weeks from now. And we're likely going to make $30,000. Hmm. Was that hard? No. You know what we did? We redid the kitchen. We redid the hardwood floors. We put in a new kitchen floor. We serviced the HVAC. We're going to be replacing some roof truss. We painted, and that was it. Like, less than $10,000. We're in and out of the house. Was that hard? No. It was a piece of cake. So can you do 1, 2, 3 houses a month and it's pretty easy? Yes. When you kind of get, I'd say, it all depends on who you are. Over 10, that's the breaking point a month if you're doing over 10. Caveat to that, if your 10 properties are paint and carpet, well, maybe you could do 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 of those. When you've got to do a full-blown renovation and it involves permits, which then involve county or city inspectors, it is, and you're moving walls or you're putting on an addition and you're waiting for the permit office to come back and grant the permit. I mean, we've got a condo deal going on right now that we've been waiting a year and a half to get a permit on.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a $6 million deal. So you can imagine the interest is just chick, 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 click, clicking away. Yep. So that's the answer. The lower the newer housing stock in markets that have newer housing stock and you can just do carpet and paint, you could probably do 10 a month easily. But if you're doing full-blown renovations, it becomes tougher as you're doing, you know, 10 or more.
Okay. And that makes sense. I want to unpack that, you know, for sure for the people listening, because I don't want people to take it cut and dry. Hey, Brad's doing no renovations now, therefore I shouldn't. And I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4 a month. And so really good answer as far as giving people some insight into your thinking there. And it was kind of, it was the scale of your business, right? You guys were either, we're going to switch our model but we're not willing to go back to doing just three or four deals a month, you know, three or four renovations, because that's when you said it was kind of easier. But what can we do high volume and make it way easier for us? So you guys are just wholesaling now. I know when we started working together, you were pretty much primarily there in the DC and Baltimore area 3-4 years ago. And now you guys are all over the market, all over the country, online. Are you guys doing offline stuff all over the country too? Or is it primarily online?
Let me just answer something that you said before, and then I'll come back to our geographic areas. Mm-hmm. And that is, you've got to ride the wave that is given to you, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, the real estate market is on fire. The inventory in almost every place in this country is low. Prices are rising. So when you say people hear Brad's not renovating, I should stop, I would say take a real look at if you can stop.
Yep.
Because what I hear from renovators, and it was the same thing that I thought until I did it properly and could find the right cash buyers, is, oh, but I'm going to wholesale and I'm going to make 20 grand, or I'm going to rehab and make 50. Well, let me tell you, first of all, that 50 can so easily become 10 or zero. And secondly, the spreads that you get often aren't as bad as you think they are, because people want products so much right now. Hmm. Look at everyone who's entering the home buying space, from the hedge funds to the iBuyers. Everyone wants this product. So I would, because I know how complex renovations are, don't think that if you start renovating, or excuse me, go from renovating to wholesaling, that you're necessarily going to make a lot less money, because you get rid of a lot of overhead. Again, someone's got to be there to inspect the property, project managers, turn on and off the utilities. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So take a real look at your business, and it might be a mindset shift that you need to do, but there's a good chance that you can make the same money or very close and cut your headaches by 80%.
Dude, I love it. So everyone, rewind that. Listen to it, whether you're a newer person who's looking to get your footing and your strategy, or you're someone who's flipping a bunch of houses or wholesaling, please rewind that and then really lock down your strategy for the next 6-12 months. So now let's try. I'll go for it. Yeah.
Two other points that are really important that I just left off.
Yep.
Number one is, I forgot the whole thing of the capital. Mm-hmm. You need money to renovate houses, which means you need lenders, which means you need to talk to your lenders, pay your lenders. Secondly is, most of the gurus out there have not renovated 1,600 houses. They don't know the liability is associated with that. It's incredible. You could renovate and do everything right, and 3 years later come back and there's an electrical fire, or there's a flood, and they sue you. It's happened. It will happen to you if you do enough houses. So do you want to put those two things out there? The areas – When it transitioned to the areas that we're doing business?
No, I was going to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. At Carrot Camp, you're saying you guys had to buy back a house or two recently because of that too.
We had to buy – we got involved in a lawsuit where we actually had to buy the freaking house back, because it was buy it back or risk going to court. And you know, when you sit in front of a judge, anything can happen, and mm-hmm. it's so expensive. And we did nothing wrong. We do everything by the book. We've got an impeccable A-plus reputation on the Better Business Bureau for – 14 years. So no, yeah, it sucks.
So locations now. So when we first connected, you're mainly in DC and Baltimore. Are you doing offline marketing outside of that, or is it mainly online?
We are doing offline marketing only in South Florida. Okay. Everywhere else is online marketing. And like I said earlier, we actually are virtually wholesaling and starting to see some success virtually wholesaling around the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So kind of going back to when we were working together originally, same thing where I know myself and Adrian, we dove in with you and kind of helped dial in the early stages of your strategy, your online strategy back then. You guys were rocking and rolling offline. Of course, you guys were already doing a bunch of PPC, all that kind of stuff. We helped you kind of work in the organic side. And the cool thing was, most people that we work with that will lay out a content plan or will lay out an SEO plan or whatever it is, most people don't do the work. But you're one of the few guys that like sat down and recorded 8,000 videos, you know, whatever it was. And then you went out there and launched all these location-specific landing pages. Now you've got, I'm assuming, someone on your team doing all that stuff and doing the SEO. So just to give people perspective, from the time that we started working together, and then, you know, your rankings climbed from there, and then you got the current, I think you went and engaged the current SEO firm you're working with now, who's in our marketplace. I think it was right after that, and your rankings started to climb. How long did it take for you guys to really get momentum to where you were getting rankings in other markets? Was it 6 months, 2 years, that kind of thing?
So this is going to be hard to believe, and I think I've told you this before. I personally love building web pages. I know it sounds really weird. but I love building web pages.
Yeah.
So starting 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I started, right after we started working with you, our website had such a high domain authority that I would go pick a city, Tuscaloosa, Bend, Oregon, mm-hmm. and I would create a page, express homebuyers/Bend, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And there were sometimes, Trevor, within 48 hours, I was on the first page of Google.
Yep.
So it's hard to say when it took off. I can tell you, though, really in the last year, we've started to see exponential growth. We did some site redesign. Our site was really slow. Since then, things have really taken off. And I mean, it's starting to look like this in terms of leads out of market.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that's really important there, y'all, is a lot of people ask me this question. They say, if we're going into multiple markets, should I have a different website for each one where it's a localized URL? And my suggestion is always exactly what Brad did. I said, if you have the intention of going, of expanding from early on, you should have a more broad URL, like Express Home Buyers or whatever it is, something that's not location specific. If you have the intention to expand. Now, if you have the intention just to always stay in DC or always stay in Tuscaloosa or whatever, cool. Like, get something local to that area. But this highlights the importance of it, because if you were to set up a different website for each state or for each region or each city, you'd have to do SEO on dozens of websites.
Yeah.
And your domain authority, what you mentioned there, Brad, is so important. And as you're building backlinks, as your website's on online more, as Google starts to rank you really high over here, it shows trust, and then your domain authority gets higher and you get more backlinks, then like Brad said, you launch a new page, you already have this built-in trust and authority with that page because it's a part of your trusted website. And that's the momentum that we talk about when we say, you know, first of all, the first phase with Carrot is launch a high converting website and personalize it. Second phase is get your first leads coming in right now in the next 2 weeks, close your first deal in 60 days. Third phase is scale up and build momentum. You build momentum with the organic stuff and by stacking marketing strategies, exactly what Brad's doing.
And you're the one who – I just thought about this. You're the one who gave me the idea on the city pages. So
I know.
Thank you very much years ago, because now we're getting 900 leads because of your idea a month. Thank you.
Dude, and it's so much fun, because I wish I could take credit for inventing location-specific pages. But well, back in the day, we were the first ones in this market as a service provider to standardize it and make it work really well. Of course, Homevestors and stuff, they have always had – local pages for a long time, but we discovered it really through LoopNet. You know, anytime I would go to Google and type up investment properties in any city, if I was looking to buy properties, LoopNet was always number one or number two in Google every city. I'm like, why are they number one or number two? But I look at their page and their content was 90% the same words. They just like swapped out the state, city, whatever, and then the content that was different was all the property listings in that location. I'm like, can we duplicate this? Like, what if we didn't just have a homepage that was trying to get traffic, but we had like dozens of them going after all these different cities? And we started to do that, and it started to work really, really well. And then we baked it into our system. And you just happened to be one of the guys who executed it as good, if not better, than anyone else. So I love it, man.
Oh, thank
you. Kudos. So a couple little technique things. I want to bring up something that was brought up here at Carrot Camp, then kind of into what you're doing today with coaching real estate investors. But technique thing on the SEO side of things. One thing that people get bogged down in is the actual active SEO stuff, backlink building, things like that. So you mentioned that you actually build out your own pages, which I think that's awesome hearing that, because it empowers some other people.
Well, I did. I don't do it anymore, but I did.
There we go. So on the backlink side, is that something where are you involved in that, or is it the SEO firm that you guys have hired doing all that?
So we have we kind of have two SEO firms, and then we have two full-time VAs that are doing a lot of the backlink and content. Mm-hmm. And then another person that you recommended, we actually didn't use the person, but we used the theory behind it.
Yep.
It's your buddy. I'm blanking on the name of your buddy, who's the amazing blog writer who mm-hmm. did the 1500, the long blogs.
Yep.
So we do a couple of those a month maybe, and yep. we have someone that we found on Fiverr who's a blog writer, and that's getting us we just did one a couple months ago in foreclosure, and we're on the first page nationwide on, you know, saving your house or foreclosure or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we haven't put all our eggs in one basket, which probably no one should if they have the resources to. Mm-hmm. We're doing, you know, a number of different things.
Cool. So I want to highlight the long format blog post thing. So that's something that we always suggest people, you know, start off just getting in some sort of a consistent content regimen once a week or something like that. If it's a short video, you can use video post on our system. Like, take out your cell phone, 3 to 5 minute video on your cell phone, upload it to YouTube, and then our system will make it a blog post for you. Like, it automates the whole thing. It yanks all the words out of your video, makes a blog post for you with the video at the top. That right there, if everyone did that once a week on a long tail keyword phrase, you're going to have 50 new pages at the end of the year that are going after phrases like that. And then as you have someone executing SEO for you, just go through our 3 lead per day training that walks through everything, or hire someone through our marketplace who can do it for you. One of the firms Brad works with is actually in there. And then another thing that you can do from there is like, okay, I've got my consistent SEO stuff going, you know, citations, some backlinks. I've got some consistent like weekly content going with my cell phone, turn them into a video, which turns into a blog post. It's going to take you less than 10 minutes a week with our system. And then, like you said, the long format stuff, that's kind of like stage three, is as we're wanting to dig in, going after really competitive phrases, Google's looking for robust content. I mean, today more than ever, if we're looking at a page that is just really stuck around number four, number five, what I'll do is I'll go through the top five, I'll go through the results ahead of me and the two or three results behind me, and I'll average the word count on the page. And I'll say, okay, what is the word count in these? What's the word count? What's the average? What's my word count? And then I'll kind of look at and see, you know, are they using certain keywords or LSI, you know, latent semantic indexing, i.e. related phrases to that phrase. Are they using that a bunch? Like, how do they have it structured? What do their heading tags look like? But honestly, word count is one of the first things I look at now, because probably 8 times out of 10, if I'm stuck in number 4 or number 5 or something like that, the top 3 or 4 positions always have more words on the page. Wow. And yep. So that's when we started to get into the long format blog post stuff, 800 word, 1500 words. We have a couple posts that are 3000 words that work really well for us, but that's something to build up to. Don't start with that, y'all.
Right.
So what else are you guys doing right now? I know you're really ramping up the online stuff. What's working for you offline right now?
So we brought back TV, and TV, we've seen a decent return on TV here in the DC market. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that. We're actually now spending a lot of time talking with data providers. We relied solely on a direct mail provider that had some analytics, and we think we really missed the boat over the last couple of years, not getting digging deeper into some, you know, data, mm-hmm. meaning a specific list like tax liens and divorce and probates and all that. So we've really spent the last 30 days trying to nurture a bunch of data. We're really going to try to use big data to get us to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of that stuff. So we're still doing a lot of postcards. We have not started, like most people, the full-blown cold calling. However, we are. We're actually in the process of implementing that now. So we're going to be doing a lot of outbound cold calling.
Cool. So one important thing too, like I want you guys to see kind of behind what Brad's saying here is a lot of people get stuck on one marketing method. They only do cold calling, and that's working. They only do SEO. They only do PPC. Shoot, Brian Rockwell, who was here at Carrot Camp, he walked through what he did his first year to make 600 and something thousand bucks, 100% online in Dallas as a new investor, like crazy. Go back and listen Amazing. To that episode of the Carrot Cast.
Amazing.
He only did two things, right? It was like SEO for long-term and PPC. It worked. But the problem is, what happens if one of those starts to slip? Like you haven't stacked your stuff. So it sounds like you've got, I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6 different lead sources, maybe more.
We do. And just like you said, because if something goes away, you don't want to build your business on one source and then it goes away and then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, cold calling was like the thing 5, 6, 7 years ago. A decade ago, and then it went away, like no one was cold calling, and then now it's just came back in a force the past year, and it's working great, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny. So one thing you brought up at Carrot Camp that I thought was ingenious, if you don't mind me sharing it, you brought up a lot of things at Carrot Camp, and it was funny because it was all really high-level people in each Carrot Camp. As of this Carrot Camp, this last one, we decided, let's take on an up-and-comer, someone who shows that they have the right mindset, someone that shows that they have the right attitude, someone that isn't, I mean, honestly, they're not broke. They've got money to make the business work. And so we invited Matthew Bristow up here from California, and he was a part of it. And Matthew's sitting there listening to all the really great advice everyone was giving. And there were nuggets being dropped by Dustin out of Utah and their multi-million-dollar wholesaling and flipping operation, you and then everyone else. And one thing that you dropped, everyone, I saw everyone like turn over and go, whoa, that's like so simple, but so genius, about the buy it now. If you wouldn't mind kind of going through that strategy, that's one of many strategies that you help with your coaching students. But what are you guys doing there with the buy it now, and how you squeeze out extra dollars out of your wholesale deals?
Yeah, so I said earlier, you got to ride the wave you're given, right? Well, we're in a really hot market. So you put a house on the market, you get a lot of interest. So what we used to do is we used to have a quote open house. We don't quite call it an open house, but we'd have a time where the buyers and the investors could get through the house to see it. And then they would put their offers in. Then sometimes there was a bidding scenario, and that took time and efforts and resources to manage. And one day I'm thinking, if we've got so much interest, why don't we do a buy it now price where it's above where we think it's going to sell? And if that person takes that buy it now price, they've got to give us a non-refundable large check, usually close to $10,000, $5,000 to $10,000. And they've got to give us the check and sign the assignment agreement. And then that open house is canceled. And then that person who won it is the only person that shows up. And I can't tell you how many times, Trevor, we've sold the house now sight unseen to that buy it now, and we get more money.
So it's the cool thing is you're straight up taking ideas out of eBay. It's like something that's been around forever. And that's the cool thing about it. I want people to look at not just what's going on in wholesaling houses full time, amazing group, but don't look at just what's going on in there or just what's going on in your industry. Take ideas outside of your industry. When you're at the insurance company, when you're online looking for this thing over here, or when you're literally making a purchase at your local shop, what can you borrow from them? What can you borrow from them that's working really well and apply it to your business? That's exactly what you did, and it's crushing.
I saw Safelite repairs, whatever the place that fixes your windshield, they'll come to you.
Yeah.
Well, they said, we'll send you a picture or a video of the rep that's going to come. Mm. I was like, what a freaking great idea. So guess what now? Every person who gets a home visit scheduled, before the visit, they get a video of the person. Mm. Hey, I'm Brad. I'm going to be coming to your house in a couple hours. Here's what you should expect. Here's what I want you to do. And then when I knock on the door, it's not me. I'm just saying it's my staff. But when I knock on the door, they're like, oh, I'm comfortable. I see this person. And you've just built that rapport that much better.
Dude, and that right there, that's another one. We did a podcast called Your Credibility Score. What's Your Credibility Score? Episode 30, 40, 50, around there. Go search them. And it was a very similar thing. Here locally, there was a foundation repair company. And actually, we had part of our hillside like slough off into the river in this crazy, crazy rain a couple of years ago. So I called the foundation repair and just earth moving kind of stabilization companies. And this one company called Terra Firma. They were one that you see their marketing everywhere. Amazing branding, by the way. Terra Firma is like the perfect company name for a earth stabilization foundation company. But I found their website. They had credibility all over their website. There's testimonials, there's stories about their team, about their methods, their processes, awards, things like that, certifications. And I gave them a call, and it was a very similar experience. I talked to the lady, we scheduled an appointment. It wasn't for like 4 or 5 days. And there were other companies coming before that company that were scheduled before. So I want you guys to think about this on the real estate side of things, okay? So this company was the last one to show up at my house. And they sent me in the, she said, okay, whatever, Brian is going to be out there at 2 o'clock on Friday, and he's going to send you an email here in the next 24 hours. I'm like, sweet. And then the day after that, I get something in the mail. It was a self-mailer, just folded in half, a brochure folded in half. And I've got it here in my office still. And you guys can find it online on that podcast. Go to our blog and look up credibility score in our blog on carrot.com/blog. Go look at the search box, credibility score, and you can find the downloadable PDF of their credibility packet that they sent me in the mail the day after. I open it up and I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to wait for these guys to come to my house before I make a decision. Like, there's no way I'm not going to. I've got to listen to what they have to say because they're just like the best, it seems like. And then I get the email the next day from Brian or whatever or his name was. It was all automated, but it looked real. Showed his picture. Hey, I'm here. I'm Brian. I'm going to be here. Here's what the process will look like when I get there. So I want you guys to be thinking about this. What's happening here is, like Brad said, you're introducing yourself or the person. You're bringing down the barriers. You're bringing down you're increasing the transparency. They know the face of the person. You look like a nice, reasonable person. And right. The email even walked through what we're going to do. He's like, I'll probably be there for 25 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm going to do a site visit. I'm going to walk through this. Then I'll just show you my synopsis and we'll work you up a quote within the next few days. I'm like, sweet. He showed up. It was exactly that. It was him. We shook hands. And then just the whole process was like that. So if you guys want to gain an edge in a competitive market like this, do what Brad said. Like, increase transparency before you show up to the house. And you're going to, that's one way to battle all the people that are getting there before you, even if you have a lower offer.
which is right. Cool. And again, price sells 8% of the time. So I can't tell you how many houses I've bought in the past and my staff has bought where our offer was lower, but they went with us because they trusted us and they liked us.
I love it, man. I love it. So really quickly here, and this is something, it's kind of funny. So I'm using, we use Skype to record these, and I literally, Brad, just now found this new feature on Skype because I've been wanting to find a new way on these podcasts to actually take out the short nuggets and be able to get them to people more easily. And I click this little pencil thing on this recorder. I'm like, what's this thing? And it says create marker. And I just magically found the solution of something I've been looking for a while, where I can create markers on this video for my editing guy to go chop this, chop this. Oh my gosh, why didn't I look at that thing before? So it saves some time. So a couple questions, and then we'll bounce. So there's so many things that you guys are doing right now to get an edge. We talked about some of the marketing things. We talked about shifting your business strategy. We talked about a couple of those tips and tweaks. You guys have lots of those things that are giving you an advantage that you work on with your coaching students. You mentioned at the start of this that you hired a CEO so you could kind of pull out of your business. So how, number one, at what point did you come to that conclusion that you wanted to step down as CEO and that was best for your, I guess, was the decision, this is what's best for the company, or was the decision, I think it's just time that I step back and work less? Kind of what was the primary driver?
So we've always wanted growth. And after kind of spinning our wheels in terms of growth, we've always done well in the local market, but we always had problems when we expanded. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, I set my ego aside and my partner set his ego aside. And we said, you know what? We're not the people to do this. We do not have the skill set to grow a nationwide company. I have the skill set to create a multi-million dollar company on a local basis, maybe a couple markets, but I don't have it. Mm-hmm. Every great entrepreneur gets to that point and you just kind of know it. You're like, I can't go any further. And you bring in someone, but a lot of entrepreneurs don't, and they end up failing, or they end up working 80 hours a week and killing themselves because they don't know any better. So it was just, it wasn't about working any less, because I'm working just as much now focusing on the coaching company and growing my clients' business.
Yep. So with bringing in the CEO, was that person someone you already knew? Did you market for him? Kind of like, how did you find that person?
So it was the craziest thing. A friend of mine literally emailed me and said, Brad, you need to talk to Mark. Hmm. And my friend used to be my business partner and he still is my close friend. And when he told me to talk to someone, I'm like, all right, I'll talk to him. So I called him and I had an hour conversation. I said, this is what we're trying to achieve. And I'm like, then the conversation, I'm like, after hearing his accolades, I'm like, you're exactly the guy we need. Would you be interested in helping us? And he goes, I might be. And then it's just one thing led to another. So it was kind of a fluke. It wasn't like we didn't have a headhunter. We weren't out on LinkedIn looking for a CEO. We just knew we needed one, and boom, one fell in our lap.
That's cool. That's cool. So what's your capacity going to be moving forward in the real estate side of things? You're chairman of the board or moving towards that direction. Is there any responsibilities you have in the day-to-day?
So I don't have – no. It's kind of scary, but it's kind of nice to say I don't do it there. I don't have to come in to sign checks. I don't have to value properties. I'm not creating marketing material. I inject myself sometimes. I'll hear something. I'll like, we can make this better. Yep. Or you could have said this differently, or let's come up with this new webpage. Or, you know, a year and a half ago, I wrote this, what I thought was a kick-ass postcard. Like, I love doing stuff like that. So I'm going to continue doing the stuff I love to do, yep, doing some more mentoring inside of my company. But no, I'm focused on just growing the coaching.
Dude, and that's the cool thing. And the reason I wanted to highlight this is not necessarily just for people who are a business the size of yours who want to look for a CEO. It's also the people who are just getting started, or they've got a few deals a month that's happening, on having intention about what you want out of your business and the role that you can play, and really doing the things that you're uniquely doing unique ability things that give you energy. And one thing that I see from entrepreneurs that get burnt out, it's not necessarily the work that burns them out, like the actual tasks. It's that they stay in a state of low energy work too much, and they don't like continually trade low energy for high energy work. I teach that through my energy audit. Everyone can just go to oncarrot.com/energy, download it for free, no opt-in required, nothing. It's changed my life. 15-minute a quarter process to trade low energy activities in your life for high energy and really amplify you as a person. But it sounds like that's one of the cool things that you're going to be getting out of that is now you have someone who, now obviously they're stepping in because they have a skill set that you don't have to grow it at a bigger level, But now you're going, okay, I can still do the things in this business I love to do. They give me energy. And that's like the ultimate for all of us entrepreneurs, where you grew a business that gives you freedom, that's giving you flexibility, that's giving you the finances, and now you can make your impact. And that's something I've been really hammering the past years. Like, we all become entrepreneurs for these things: freedom, flexibility, finances, and hopefully someday impact. And that's the evolution that you've gone.
And that's exactly what my intentions are with the coaching company. I'm already in my head thinking, what do I want to do? I want to do 3 or 4 select tasks. And so I'm working really hard to get to that point where I put the coaching business on autopilot and I do the things I love to do, which is talking to the students, helping the students grow their business, doing content. I love, as you know, I love getting in front of the camera and talking and saying, here's how you make a business successful. So same thing I'm doing. And you're right. Everyone in their business should do that. And if you hate doing something, find a way not to do stuff you hate. Mm-hmm. You guys have control of your lives and your businesses. Make it happen.
So I want to spend a little bit of time on the coaching side, because that's something I'm passionate about too. I currently don't like take on coaching students, but I love the act of coaching. Like, I love coaching our team members. We have a couple dozen employees now, and I really, really enjoy that. I love coaching our students. When I have the chance to hop on a phone call with them, I hopped on the phone with 2 of them yesterday with our customers. I love it. Okay. And that's something that I know for guys like you too. I mean, you just really, really, really love the coaching side of things. And that's one thing that pops up. It's funny. Like, you'll hear people online go, well, if Brad or if X person is so good at this stuff, why are they coaching? Right.
And that's I hear it all the time.
It's the most bogus question. It's so funny because, it's valid that they're asking it. Number one, it's valid, but they're asking it from a mindset that's a mindset not where you are. They're asking it from a mindset of just money related, not impact. And the thing is, once you get to a certain point as an entrepreneur, where the money part of it is no longer your driver, that's, for me, it's not at all. Like, we're going to continue to grow the company because of the impact and the mission and the movement. It's not because I'm looking for more. I don't spend the money I've got already. Like, the house, you visited my house, that house is a money pit for us right now with all the renovations we got. That's the only thing I'm spending money on. Everything else, I don't spend money on stuff. So with the mindset of people that ask that question, it's a valid question to ask. We have to look at, are you in a different mindset and level of life and entrepreneurship than Brad is, as an example? And Brad's past the point where he needs the money. He's at the point now where impact is there. Now, there's got to be a money barrier. So that's the next question people say. Well, if he wants an impact, why doesn't he just do it for free, right? I'm going, oh my gosh, that's another really valid but terrible question. And because for same thing for people like us, we worked our butts off over decades to learn what we know, to build the connections we have, to be able to have the shortcuts that we have in our businesses and life. And it's worth something. Number one, our time is worth something. We're not a charity. But also, number two, there is a barrier of entry that, honestly, you've got to filter out people that aren't serious. And I've tried it. Like, when I have tried to do things low cost or free, it always, always bit me in the butt, man. Like, it attracted the wrong person. The right person wasn't attracted, because they're like, if he's willing to do it for free or cheap, how good could he be? And so that's why I wanted to bring these up, for a reason, because there's this whole story arc here. One of the largest home buyers in the country, if not the largest, he's had a chance to really build a business in a way that got him freedom, flexibility, finances. He can make an impact. He's hired a CEO. He can step out of it. And now it's kind of this next phase. How does he make that impact? And all these questions pop up with people. And I want to completely squash those, because I know you well. I know your business. I know it inside and out. I can vouch for it. And I'm like, I want to squash these, because it's not about that. You guys, if you have a chance to work with Brad, and this isn't a sales pitch for Brad, it's a sales pitch for you getting out of the block that you're in your life and business right now. And if Brad can be the guy that unblocks it, amazing. But this is a sales pitch for you getting into a different mindset to value your time and value the coach's time that you guys work with, that have put in blood, sweat, tears, decades to learn those things. So what are you most excited about after my rant? What are you most excited about with your coaching program, like with your students, kind of what's working for them right now as they're executing stuff?
Well, I'm starting to see the impact, and a couple of the carrot campers signed up, and they're starting to see impact. So I love just to see, you know, people starting to change their business. And you heard me speak a lot about this at Carrot Camp. The number one problem I see across the country is people. 99% of people's problems in business is people. It's either lack of the right people or just having the wrong person. Mm. So in the level 2 coaching program, we spend a lot of time. How do you find, retain, hire, train top talented people? And it's getting harder as the economy is so on fire. Mm-hmm. But we are, you know, we're really good at that. Mm-hmm. Why am I able, even before this, even before bringing on the CEO, I didn't have to be in my business. Why was that? It was because of the people I have on my team. Mm-hmm. And so often, business owners neglect that. They get in the whirlwind of the day-to-day operations and they just can't step back. And if they do step back, they do it half-assed and they do it really quick and they don't spend enough time. Yep. So the things that are working for people are a lot of this. There's no rocket science out there. I push everyone to get a carrot site because I've seen the results firsthand. You guys are amazing at what you do. That's working. Pay-per-click is working. You know, direct mail is competitive, but it still works for a lot of people, including us. And then cold calling is working for a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So again, there's no silver bullet in this business, just like there is really isn't in any business. It's, do you have the right people? Secondly, do you have the right systems? Do you have the right marketing? And do you have the right follow-up? Mm-hmm. So
write those down, guys and gals, write those down, because those right there are action items. I want you guys to analyze those over this next week, those things that Brad just mentioned. If you didn't catch them, rewind it 20 seconds and listen to them, because write those down and then give yourselves a grade next to each one, 1 through 5. 1 being you're failing it, 5 being, man, you're like world class, you're nailing it. So failing it or nailing it. And I want you to write it down, take your own internal audit, and then the ones that are below a 3, I want you to work on this next week. You go and tackle it. If it's follow-up, sweet. Don't go do research and find the people that are doing follow-up really good and implement that system. Okay, if it's your online marketing, do something else there.
Yep. And do the same thing with your people. If you're fortunate enough to have a team, rate everyone on your team. What we like to do is we put the core values across the top and we say, hey, does this person meet the core value? Do they exceed it, or do they fall below? Mm. And then rate them on a scale of 1 to F, you know, A to F. Do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity? This is a traction thing that I got from Traction. Yep. But just rate, and it's in 30 seconds with each candidate, or not candidate. You should be doing this with candidates as well. But with each employee, you're going to quickly say, is this someone I should have on my team? And there are going to be so many people that do this exercise that know that they should get rid of someone, but won't for some reason. And a lot of people keep people around because they think they're going to hurt them to fire them. And this was a huge mindset shift for me because I heard this 3, 4, 5 years ago. If you keep someone in a position that they shouldn't be in, you're actually hurting them more than you're hurting yourself. Mm. Really, really think about that. And when you hear this, go into the office. And if you need to let someone go, let them go. And don't say, I'll do it in 6 months, because you just stole 6 months of their lives. Gotcha. They should have been doing something that they're passionate about and that they're good at doing. They're not good at the job they're in. So get rid of them and let them find what they're good at doing.
Dude, that right there is good. There's one thing that almost had like chills up my back when you said you just stole 6 months of their lives. And I'd heard the concept you'd mentioned and I've been adopting it, but that part of it right there kind of took it another level. That just that phrase, you just stole 6 months of your lives, or you stole 3 months, or whatever it is. So if there's anyone on your team, it's like Brad mentioned, that isn't the right fit, please, please do them the service of parting ways and finding someone who can be a fit. Dude, I could talk with you for hours, and I'm pumped to see you back out here in Roseburg. It sounds like you're coming back for Carrot Camp in the fall. For anyone who wants to join us, and it sounds like likely Brad, out at Carrot Camp in fall, go to carrotcamp.com and check it out. There's only 15 total spots open in each Carrot Camp, and there's already 3, I think, that are completely full. We have another 4 commitments, 2 or 3 that are full and paid up, and we haven't even emailed it out yet. Go check it out. We'd love to see you out here, help you evolve your mindset, get around amazing, amazing people, and just really grow. And Brad, it's something that, I know it's the second time you've been on the Carrot Cast. I don't think it'll be the last time. But it's something I just really appreciate what you do for Carrot, number one. I mean, you've always been an evangelist for Carrot from day one. And I don't take it lightly that people of your caliber are evangelists of our company. Because I know at the beginning days, a lot of people, even the big guys, would be like, no, Carrot's kind of more for the beginning investor or immediate. And we have so many of the largest investors in the country switching over to us now. It's like the largest home buyer in Oklahoma switched to Carrot 2 months ago. Their leads doubled. Stuart, they're crushing it now. And he's like, oh my God, why didn't I do this earlier? Uh-huh. And, you know, Dan Lane, I had a phone call with him today, largest home buyer in Tennessee. We can keep on going on and on down the line that a lot of that is because of the work we've done, but also how people like yourselves have really helping to give it legitimacy after you've seen the results of things that we've either done, showed, tested, worked with you on, or you've seen out there. So I appreciate you.
Oh, sure. You're welcome.
And also want to toss something out at everyone listening to this, that this call isn't a pitch for Brad's coaching, but it is a pitch, like I said, for you to up-level yourself. I know for me going into this to this year, you know, we're growing a lot here at Carrot. We've doubled our team size in the past 12 months, so I've had to grow a lot as a person. I have a lot of room to grow still. And so leading into this year, I'm like, what are my biggest deficiencies and where do I need to grow so I can serve my team better, so I can serve my mission better, so I can really, you know, reach those goals so we can make the impact. And I rejoined a mastermind. So I plunked down $25,000 for a mastermind to help myself become a better marketer and also surround myself with amazing visionary entrepreneurs. And the next thing I did is I plunked down $60,000 on coaching. So with one person, that's not five coaches, y'all. That's a person. I pay $5,000 a month for coaching. And every single person I know who's really successful has a coach and or mentor. And this year alone, I'll be investing, you know, almost $100,000 into coaching and mentorship. And it's important. And I don't care if you're if you're just getting going and you need a mentor or coach and you don't have $100,000, awesome. You know, take that $3,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 and work with someone. If you don't have that, go work with someone locally and help add value to them until you do have the money to then really align with the coach. But if someone wants to reach out to you, Brad, if they're kind of a fit, where would they reach out to you to follow you, get your content and coaching?
Yeah, just go to bradchandler.com. And if you want to see more about the program, there's a little button on there that says reserve my spot. We have a free training that goes over actually how to grow a wholesale business. And it goes over the program. There's also a button that says work with Brad. If you want to bypass it and say, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to rock and roll and grow my business, scale my business. Just click the button work with Brad and it will bring you to an application page. We don't take everyone. It is an application. We want to have the right fit. We want to have people that are, you know, really determined to grow their business and scale. But just go to bradchandler.com and you can get all the information there.
Awesome. And we're probably going to have Brad on some webinars, like coaching calls for our customers here in the next several months. I've got my mastermind in Charleston, so you're going to be getting an invite for that tonight. I'm way late in sending that out, so if you can make it, that one is also in September. So it's going to be a busy September if you're going to be doing this. But okay. I'm pumped to be able to see you again this year. Everyone listen to this episode of the Carrot Cast. There's nuggets all over this from someone just beginning. There's mindset things and there's tactical stuff from someone that's, you know, advanced and looking to scale up their business or regain more time or work within their unique ability more. There's a lot of stuff in here for you. So go back, re-listen to this, share it up with someone that you care about that can really leverage this in their business and life so they can have that freedom, flexibility, grow the finances, make the impact you want it to make. And we love you guys listening to the podcast. If you can, go to iTunes or wherever you're listening to this, give a rating and review. It's really important because not only do I read them all, and it's cool reading them all, even though bad ones, I read those, I'm like, oh, I need to get better at that. But also it's just really an amazing way to help spread this message more because you're a part of the Carrot community, you're part of our mission, and we want you guys to go out there and build businesses that have that consistency, the predictability, so you can finally have the freedom, flexibility, finances, and make your impact in the world. So thank you guys for listening. Brad, thank you for hopping on again.
Thanks for having me. That was awesome.
Sweet. You guys have an amazing rest of the week. Talk soon.